All the people gathered to hear the word of the book of the law of Moses, preached from the mouth of Ezra. For generations, the book had been hidden and had just been found and returned to the people. And they wanted to hear the words that spoke to them about God's involvement in their lives and in the world. The people yearned to know that God was with them still, even though they had strayed so far from God. You see, there had been an exile to Babylon where the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, had been uprooted from their homeland and taken to a foreign country to live. There were some left behind, but not many. For the most part, the entire Jewish race of people were taken against their will to live under foreign rule. After a time, they all adjusted to the change. Children were born in Babylon, and it became home. Not the homeland, but home. They got used to living by the rules of the Babylonian Empire, this way of life that was so originally so strange and threatened their very own values and morals was now the new normal. It even began to rub off on them, both those living in Babylon in exile and those back home in Jerusalem. Back in Jerusalem, others had moved in. Strange people, different people, those who had other religious beliefs and practices. They weren't so bad either. They became neighbors and friends to the Jewish people left in Jerusalem. Some of them fell in love and married. Lines became blurred. Those once tightly held codes of conduct that God had set down for Moses as the laws didn't hold the same sway for the people as they once had. It was in many cases just easier to give in and go along with your pagan husband or wife than to put up a fuss. This went on for many years, 70 to be exact. A lot can happen in 70 years. A lot can be forgotten in 70 years. Because God can use whom God chooses to fulfill God's will, a leader named Cyrus decided that the Jewish people no longer needed to be held against their will in Babylon. And so they were allowed to return home. Some folks had gotten so accustomed to Babylon, had grown up there, raised their families there, had decent jobs there. Home, Jerusalem, was now a foreign place, and so some folks stayed in Babylon. But many returned to Jerusalem. That was still home, the home of their ancestors, the home that God had brought them to when he took them out of their earlier days of enslavement in Egypt. Home had deep roots for so many, and so they returned to begin again. But much had been forgotten, both by the returning exiles and those who had remained in Jerusalem. The temple had been destroyed, and the book of the laws given to Moses had fallen to the wayside. Ezra, scribe and priest, gathered the people and began to remind them of what they are, who they are, and what God expects of them. At first, the people are happy. They shout, "Amen, amen." They bow down and pray and worship God. They're taught from the book, and they are remembered, reconnected to their ancestral heritage and to their God. But then Ezra keeps talking, and folks don't like what Ezra has to say about their current way of living. He tells the good Jewish men folks that they have broken the law. They've mixed up with the wrong women. God set them apart to be God's people, and they have strayed from God's plan. The folks who were happy and praising God are now leaving in droves. All was well and good while we were comfortably listening to the words of assurance, but now that we have to do something about these laws, we want no part of it, thought some. Flash forward some 500 years or so, and we have another rabbi unfolding the scriptures for the people. This time, what is being read is not the law, but the prophets. Once again, the people of God are being reminded of what it means to be the people of God. He tells them what the plan of God is: to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, To the oppressed, go free. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And all eyes are on this bearer of good news. Their hearts are wrapped with expectation of how this is going to happen. And the rabbi says, I'm the one to do this. I'm the one. The Spirit of the Lord is with me to make these things happen. And as our wonderful presiding bishop would say, this is the beginning of the Jesus movement. And not unlike the reaction the good people initially had to Ezra's reminding them of the law of Moses, the people gathered in the temple that day were amazed at the gracious words that came from Jesus' mouth. He had good news to share with them. Remember, they too are living under foreign rule. They too are not free. There is oppression and captivity. They are prisoners that need to be released and blind folks that need their sight restored. These words that Jesus has shared from the prophet Isaiah are words of hope for folks who need hope. They're words of comfort for those who need comfort. So the folks are amazed at his gracious words. But then the murmuring begins. Isn't that Joseph's son? Who is he that he can make the proclamation that the Spirit of the Lord is with him? Words that initially encourage and bring joy are turned around and used as weapons. And as we will hear next week when this story continues, the folks not only question Jesus' authority, but try to make him go away. He has made them uncomfortable, and they want only the words of comfort and assurance, not the words that hold them accountable, that have an expectation for the way that they should live their lives inside the temple and out in the world. As part of this Jesus movement, we are part of a movement of love. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, in a sermon given at Trinity Wall Street recently, described Jesus as the embodiment of love. Love being the creative energy of God. And as we have seen time and again throughout the ages, that love is often met with hate. Jesus says, love one another in the face of hate, in the face of uncertainty and fear that so often leads to anger and betrayal. Even then, Jesus says, love. Love your enemy, he says. Even when people say hateful and hurtful things about you, even when they try to throw you over a cliff, even when they nail you to a cross, love. Jesus calls us to be a part of the movement of love in the world. Jesus invites us to proclaim in word and action with him, to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We have work to do. Let's get going. Amen.